Welcome to The Annotator, where composers share their thoughts and stories about their original scores. This is episode 68, where composer Frederick Wiedemann talks about his original score for season 2 of the Netflix original animated series, The Dragon Prince. This is Christopher Coleman, and you can find all episodes of this podcast at theannotator.net. Composer Frederick Wiedemann has composed original scores for over 40 projects, including animated films and TV shows such as Son of Batman, Justice League, Flashpoint, and the Green Lantern animated series, returns to continue his musical story behind the Dragon Prince. In our last episode, Wiedemann shares about how he originally came onto the Netflix project, his unique musical approach making eclectic instrument choices from around the world, and the fan reaction to his season 1 score. Now in this episode, Frederick Wiedemann shares how he decided to build on the musical foundation that he laid in season 1. He also reveals how he employs and develops two important character thematic elements from season 1. And lastly, his lofty musical goals for the climactic piece in season 2 of The Dragon Prince.
It was clear that season 1 was working. We all liked where the music was heading, and there wasn't really a big change we had to do. I mean, the characters are the same. Yes, there's new ones that are being introduced, and certain people turn darker. And besides just following all these natural courses of the story with what we have been doing, it was really just kind of continue with what we have, expand on it, and build on it. There was not a big conceptual change in what we needed to do. So it really just, it needs to feel like a continuation of this epic saga. Maybe, you know, one or two notches up from before. And I think you can hear that in the music. It gets a little bigger when it gets bigger. It gets more intense. I feel like we sometimes have even more music in an episode than we used to in season 1. There's more. You also earned from season 1, I earned myself to do certain things that I wasn't able to do in season 1 in terms of scale, size. It's funny, like you have to warrant certain musical treatments. Sometimes you have to establish something way before to even be allowed to do that, so it dramatically makes sense. You kind of prep yourself for that when you know you work in season 1. And I was, you know, I'm in the loop on what season 2 might have looked like back then when it was still up in the air. And yeah, I kind of, with that back in my back mind, I sort of worked towards that, and I knew certain characters would become more important. I knew they would need a theme, even though we just see them briefly in the first season, and then you can. I think, you know, a great example is Avaros, the new character in the mirror. The mirror is introduced in season 1, but he is not. But I knew that he was going to be very important to the story, so I had to start the Avaros theme way before we even meet him, with just it being the mirror theme in the beginning. So all those things, like, you kind of anticipate and work towards, and then you get to create the payoff when you have prepped it well. And that was kind of one of the big things I, you know, always had in the back of my mind while scoring season 1, then going into season 2. So that's another cool cold open. So far, both seasons have started with just no main title, go right into the story. And I love when shows do that. It's like just kind of pulls you in a completely different way. So we see Amaya riding up the breach, flowing lava everywhere, and then she's encountering the Sunfire Elves for the first time. And there's this big battle between them. We're going deeper into her character and how badass she really is, and also introducing this new threat, the Sunfire Elves, and what's happening to this breach that is very important to the humans. And that cue was fun because I had to, like, again, go right into the story with the music. Here we go. It continues. There's no setup. There's no easing in. It's just, boom, here we go. Action, drama, new characters, a new threat, a new thing here, a new thing there. And that was kind of the idea of this particular piece. It's a very exciting piece of music. It's a lot darker than episode one opening. If you compare the two, it's, you know, you already can feel you're now deep into the story. Stuff's getting real. They really need to, the situation is getting more dire every day. War is approaching, you know, more and more every day. And so the music really had to kind of put you in a different mindset than it did when we opened episode one in the first season. The Ladder, yes. So that's another one where I pointed out this track because if you listen to It's Not That Simple from season one, this piece is basically that same theme but in a very different way, because now Callum is reading the letter that his dad gave him, his stepdad gave him, and he's reminiscing over his past and also finally learning the truth about what his father wrote in this mysterious role that he's been carrying around this whole time. So the variation here is a lot more intimate and personal of this particular theme. In Not That Simple, the music is very large and grand and heartwarming, and here it is very internalized, and I think that was an interesting way to treat this particular moment in season two. And that's why I thought it was an interesting one to compare it to, because it's the same theme but treated in a very different way, but still evoking similar things. You know, from a composer's perspective, that's always the fun part when you go, okay, I can use this theme here, but how am I going to do it? Is it going to be big, small? Is it going to, am I changing the key from major to minor key? All these things that we, these tools we use to modify thematic material really came into play here in trying to make a variation that will suit this particular scene, but still tie in the thematic melodies with this specific character. So that's the first time we meet Avaros. There's this piano motif, bum, 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 which sounds almost classical, like a, you know, I don't want to say that I am anywhere near those composers, but it sounds like a classical Russian, maybe like a Shostakovich type of idea, which is very unlike everything else we've had in the score. There's nothing like it. Piano is used in sparse, intimate moments, maybe to express emotion or make something very small. But piano is really not used as a big instrument in this show. So when this comes in, it's very specific to Avaros and his whole storyline. he's the character that emerges from the mirror that Mirren is trying to get access to for this whole time, and finally he's able to. He's a very mysterious character. We don't know much about him yet. We're still learning. And there is a sense, there's a sophisticated sense about him that the music really had to convey. And again, like I mentioned earlier, his thematic material is indicated in season one in all the mirror sequences multiple times. But when he finally comes out for the first time is when we really hear the music more clearly, and the theme is more fleshed out. There's also a whole bunch of solo strings that go along with it that are more on the dissonant side to sort of show that, you know, this is a little bit of an off-key character, and he's obviously siding with Mirren, who we already know doesn't have the best intentions. There has to be some level of darkness about him as well. And that's what these distorted, dissonant solo strings are doing on top of that theme. So now we are in, while Callum is in his blackout. And this whole thing is, it's like a dream sequence. So we are in his mind and no longer in Zadia in the real world. So I really wanted to differentiate that, like in this particular cue. It starts off with like a synth pulse thing. It's unheard of so far in the show. So hopefully that really differentiates the world we're in now versus what's happening in the real world. And that is throughout his blackout. The music is very sparse, atmospheric. There's a lot of electronic stuff. Some strings and some of our usual things, of course, because we want to still maintain some elements of the show, but it's primarily structured with things that are not part of any other scene in the whole series so far. So that was kind of the idea, to make this sequence just stand out as its own environment and its own atmosphere and musical feel that you can really differentiate from the rest. And it's also scary. I mean, it's almost like there's parts of it that remind you of horror music. You know, when he's being seduced by his alter ego with the scary face, it's almost like a horrific nightmare. So the music really had to go into that mode as well, to show how scary this all is, this internal struggle that he's having. So yeah, this is again my season finale cue, which is always my favorite, like I said. So here, our baby dragon, the Dragon Prince, for the first time is able to fly, which has been a struggle all this season. You know, Ezrin has been trying to teach him, but he just never quite got there. So since the baby dragon doesn't have his mommy, he's relying on our three heroes to basically get him up to speed with what a baby dragon needs to do. And after many, many failed attempts, our main characters get to this point in the show where they have to cross this massive lava lake on slightly moving floating rocks. And some of them are illuminated by the moon that show them the path to how to cross this without dying. And suddenly the sun comes up and they're halfway there and haven't quite made it yet. And the sun comes up and these rocks start to lose their color. So now they don't know which ones they're allowed to step on without falling to certain death. And so they're basically stuck in the middle of this lava lake, so close to where they had to go for their final destination. And the only person that can then save them is our baby dragon. But he needs to fly in order to do that. So there's this big, intense moment of, what are they going to do? We all know the limitations of this little baby dragon. We don't really believe that there's anything he can do at this point to save them. But then he does rise to the occasion, and it's this first moment of him basically doing his first heroic act. And he spreads his wings and starts to fly and ends up saving our heroes from dying in this lava lake. And yeah, that's why I called it wings, because the wings is essentially what he uses to block out the sun so that become illuminated again by the moon so that they can cross safely. And it's a big piece again. It's exciting, it's fast, it's intense. There's this big moment of when he manages to be up in the air where the whole big theme comes in a grand way. And then it becomes even bigger when he's up on the rocks doing his heroic act. That's where I'm playing what I call the Dragon Prince theme, which is the one that opens the show and comes, you know, throughout the series in key moments. And, you know, the story is so great that it's less figuring out what to do than more figuring out how can I do this more interesting than I would normally do. The show kind of knows what it needs because the story is perfect. I think the characters are amazing and how they develop. And so it's always kind of obvious as to what needs to be done musically. But the big challenge for me is always to how can I twist it a little bit or make it a little different or do something more unexpected, like during the Avaros theme or the mind sequence, like just how to sort of step out of my comfort zone and do something a little different. That's always my own personal challenge. Nobody tells me to do that. I'm in my studio thinking, should I use an instrument or should I use it at the Duke and pitch it up an octave? Or, you know, there's things like that that I challenge myself with. I mean, there's a lot of trust in what I do, especially at this stage. We've done so much work together and storytelling together that there's a lot of trust. They kind of let me do my thing, and I also have that feeling while I'm working is that I'm able to try different things and step out of my comfort zone with them appreciating it as opposed to shutting me down. And that's a really wonderful place to be as an artist.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Annotator with composer Frederick Weidman and his original score for Season 2 of the Netflix original animated series, The Dragon Prince. If you haven't already, please listen to our previous episode, Episode 67, where Weidman talks about his work on Season 1 of The Dragon Prince. The original scores for both Season 1 and Season 2 were released on February 22, 2019 by Lakeshore Records, and you can purchase them on Amazon.com, iTunes, or stream them on Spotify or Apple Music. You can find out more and hear more music by Frederick Weidman at his official site, frederickweidman.com. The Annotator is produced by me, Christopher Coleman, and you can find more episodes at theannotator.net, or you can subscribe wherever you find quality podcasts. Wherever you do listen, please leave us a rating or a review, and if you think you know someone who might enjoy The Annotator, we would love for you to share it with them. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Audio Annotator or on Facebook at The Annotator, or you can send us your feedback by email to theannotatorpodcast@gmail.com.